This is a CBC podcast.
Saskatchewan's premier was posing with a shovel outside the site of a new urgent care center in Saskatoon this week. Yesterday, Scott Moe toured a sawmill in Carrot River. Feels like we're in an election campaign, but we aren't. For more on the political news of the week, we've reached our panel. Adam Hunter covers politics for CBC Saskatchewan, and Murray Mandrick writes a political column in the Regina Leader Post. Hi, guys.
Good morning.
Adam, what's the latest?
It seems like we're a broken record here because there is this kind of ongoing campaign day after day. The government has three or four announcements. A lot are, you know, with media there in attendance all over the province. The NDP is doing on about an announcement a day. Some of them are new platform announcements. Some are things we've heard before, like removing the PST on children's clothes or higher Saskatchewan plan. The details, the sort of the cost, what they've done the math on, that may be new, but some of the ideas aren't, and things they've been promised before. When it comes to Scott Moe, as you said, he's had a lot of shovels in hand, you know, urgent care center. He was at Sask Poly, a site of a new building there a few weeks ago with a shovel in hand and a hard hat, and that's campaign mode for sure. Well, we're still more than a week probably away from an election call, so I'd expect another 5, 6, 7 days of this.
What I have seen more of since we spoke last week and the week before about this campaign that's not a campaign is people complaining, including former Liberal leader and I forget their new name now, SAS Progress or something. Okay. But sorry to them. I don't mean to be flip about it. I sincerely forgot. But complaining that this is all happening with our money.
And that is a legit complaint. In that sense, I think the government is doing less well in this pre-campaign period than the opposition, because as Adam outlined, we may have thought the NDP might move in this direction, but they're actually kind of rounding out what their campaign platform is going to look like, and that's vaguely resembling news. Nothing the government is doing is vaguely resembling news. As Adam pointed out, Gene Mikowski's announcement yesterday was, oh yeah, it was in the budget, but it didn't get much coverage, so let's re-announce. You love an honest politician, don't you?
Yeah.
And it was an honest answer, and that is the problem. And people are getting a little annoyed about this, because it brings up two things. Okay, why didn't you do this before? Why are you re-announcing it now? And why are you basically campaigning on it on my dime? And I think that's a little frustrating for the public. It doesn't get the government off to a good start. I don't think they're actually scoring many points is for all the wondrous things that they've done right now. And I think it's probably the oppositions that have sort of won the pre-election period right now, if that matters any.
Yeah. We also learned which of the Saskatchewan Party candidates this time around have an impaired driving conviction. What do we know?
So this has happened for the last number of election cycles now. The SAS party kind of gets ahead of it with releasing convictions, criminal convictions, and this is five driving impaired over the span of about, you know, 30 years, 1992 to 2011. There's five potential MLAs, two MLAs right now. One is the Premier, Scott Moe. One is Terry Jensen. Then three candidates hoping to run and win for the Saskatchewan Party. Moe was asked about this week by our Dane Patterson, who said, you know, this is about transparency and letting people know. And we'll remember the last election campaign in 2020, we reported on, and it came out that Premier Moe had a previous charge, for impaired driving and leaving the scene of an accident. But because he wasn't convicted and the charge was stayed, that wasn't disclosed. So there are some kind of gray areas here. We've also known about, and I've reported on, a former MLA who was the Saskatchewan Party, Warren Stanley, who was an MP who had a pardon, and that wasn't disclosed. And the reason why it wasn't disclosed is because it was pardoned. So there are some differences in things that can happen. This NDP has said that they're going to disclose once they have 61 candidates. The Progress Party said, hey, well, this is a matter of public record. We're not going to disclose. We don't know if they have a number of candidates yet. PC said they would. Buffalo Party said none of their candidates so far have. They plan to. And the Saskatchewan United Party is the only party that didn't get back to CBC. So that's where we're at with this.
What do you make of this?
I want to focus on the drunk driving convictions, because I think we are looking at it from the wrong perspective. This is 5 out of 61 candidates. I don't think I could name 5 of 61 people I know. And a lot of people I know are sadly look like me, old white male etc., that grew up in an era where it was less of an issue. But I don't think I can think of five of them that had DUIs at any point in their life. So I think the question to ask is, why are these particular candidates being attracted to politics? And what are we learning from this? Is there remorse? Is there are we doing something to toughen laws? We haven't done that in any number of years. We're still having this issue. Well, we can't be too tough on it because people still have to get home kind of things, which is I think way past it. We're generations past that. My kids are, generations past that, for whatever faults anybody might have in a younger generation. Drunk driving is less of one. So we have to figure out why this is still kind of an issue, or better yet, why it's not an issue, because it should be. I'm not saying that these people should be banned from running for public office because they've had a felony or anything like that. And Adam's right, it's being disclosed, because the only problem with it is if it came out and it wasn't disclosed. But let's look at the issue. Isn't it problematic that there is that many of that generation? What are you doing about it to make it better? Because I don't see them doing enough to address drunk driving.
Yeah. And Adam, we've also heard about some former Saskatchewan Party MLAs this week seeking re-election, but not for the SAS Party. What can you tell us about that?
So there's two MLAs that are joining Nadine Wilson as ex-Saskatchewan Party MLAs who are running for the Saskatchewan United Party. This is Dennis Allchurch, who was first elected in 99 in Rossler and Shelburne, and he lost a contested nomination to Premier Scott Moe back in 2011, and not a rarity for someone to run party to run another candidate in a contested nomination, but someone with that much experience, it sometimes raised your eyebrows. Premier Moe obviously has gone on to success. Greg Berkich decided not to seek re-election in 2020. In 1999, he was also the class of that 1999 class. Well, Randy Weeks was well in that class. They made a lot of news this year, those guys. And Berkich, his final speech in the legislature got some attention in 2020 because he uttered the phrase "All Lives Matter," which is a retort to Black Lives Matter, and it was forced apologies from politicians, including Brian Pallister, the former premier of Manitoba, said I wasn't aware of this at the time. Premier Scott Moe came out and said Greg Berkich shouldn't have said this in the House, given what's happening in the climate at that time. So maybe some hard feelings from Allchurch and Berkich. Also, Nadine Wilson was removed from the Saskatchewan Party Caucus for misrepresenting their vaccination status. So there's kind of this crew that maybe have a little bit of a history with the Premier and the government trying to stick it to them. I should mention Greg Berkich is running Saskatoon Southeast and Dennis Allchurch is running Meadow Lake.
How significant will this be?
Oh, the word history. Break it down that history has stories and these people have stories. And I think that's what's really going to be bothersome to the SAS Party and Scott Moe, because we're already seeing it. We saw it with Randy Weeks. He started telling stories about what was going on in the government caucus. Dennis Allchurch is starting to tell stories about how that nomination process worked and maybe some motivations for Scott Moe running for office that would be less favorable to people. And we're seeing that from Greg Berkich, who wasn't an unlike person. In fact, you and I covered him, and pretty likable guy and good storyteller, by the way, which was interesting in itself. Yes, they're sour grapes, and I think both of them, Mr. Allchurch and Mr. Berkich, readily admit that they left under unhappy circumstances, particularly Mr. Allchurch and the story he says about being forced out because of politics within the riding, within the party, et cetera, and whatnot. And they complain about Scott Moe moving the party too far left, which I don't think most people would buy. Exactly. It's hard to say that one with a straight face, to be honest with you. But they also make the point, which is interesting, is that Nadine Wilson and the Sask United Party, and why they're attracted to her, is she's been more effective out of caucus as someone pushing the party to the Sask Party, the government to the right, in response to her success, in response to Sask United's success. There's tangible evidence of that in terms of what we saw on Bill 137 after the Lumsden-Morris by-election. So there is validity to their appearance in political circles in terms of how it's affecting government policy. But what I'm more interested in is, once again, stories and those coming out.
Thanks, you guys.
You're welcome.
For more CBC podcasts, go to cbc.ca/podcasts.